We're going to be reading together from Lord's Day 42. As I said before, we're working our way through the Ten Commandments as a congregation. This week coming to the Eighth Commandment. Before we read from Lord's Day 42, let's read first of all from 2 Thessalonians 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to be starting at verse 6. Here Paul writing about the necessity for industrious and fruitful labor, and gives himself as an example of diligent work. So this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 6. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. And that's as far as reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Then I do encourage you to turn with me in the back of your songbooks. We're going to be looking at Lord's Day 42. As I said before, this is the eighth commandment, Lord's Day 42, and that's found on page 892 in the back of our songbooks. I'll read the question. Let's respond with the answers together. Question answer 110. What does God forbid in the eighth commandment? He forbids not only outright theft and robbery, which governing authorities punish, but in God's sight, theft also includes all evil tricks and schemes designed to get our neighbor's goods for ourselves, whether by force or means that appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, or volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any other means forbidden by God. In addition, God forbids all greed and pointless squandering of his gifts. And then question answer 111, what does God require of you in this commandment? That I do whatever I can and may for my neighbor's good, that I treat others as I would like them to treat me, and that I work faithfully so that I may help the needy in their hardship. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, stealing used to be taboo in our society. It used to be that when someone was caught stealing, they would be shamed, they would be punished. So they would at least try to hide or conceal their actions when they were stealing. But if you've watched the news recently, you see brazen theft. People walking into grocery stores and convenience stores, sometimes even riding their bikes and filling up their backpacks and pushing past all others as they steal. This is because we live in a country that no longer punishes those who steal as we ought. For example, as you may know, you can steal up to $950 worth in California, and your actions are only considered a misdemeanor with no punishment, no consequence. And the California Senate just passed a bill that forbids employees from interfering when their stores are being targeted by thieves. So when the state is not punishing thieves, as our question and answer said, governing authorities should be punishing them, are we surprised that we live in a country that no longer condemns stealing? The fact is, society cannot function when thieves are not being punished. But robbery is not just something that you will find at the corner store or the convenience store. It's not just something that happens when people shoplift. Stealing is something that applies to all of us and in our various respective callings. For example, we can steal time when we're not being industrious. At work, we can steal tools. Even when we're in school, we can steal grades when we cheat. And even when we're sitting here at church, we can steal from God when we don't bring our tithes and offerings. In fact, that's what Malachi 3 says. When you don't bring your tithes and offerings, you are in fact stealing from God. So this evening, as we consider the eighth commandment, we're going to see stealing and theft as a sin that we must all confront. And we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us to avoid stealing as he calls us to contentment. Jesus Christ calls us to avoid stealing as he instructs us to be content. In our first point, as we have with all of our previous commandments, we are going to be looking at the foundation of this commandment. The commandment which reads, "You shall not steal." When God forbids the stealing of possessions, he is declaring that he has the right to declare how all possessions are to be used. Since God is the creator of all things, since everything exists as having been brought forth by his hand, and nothing exists that God has not brought forth, it stands to reason that God alone has the right to tell all people how to use possessions. In fact, as Psalm 24, verse 1 puts it, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So all of the gold and silver that is mined from the earth, all of the coal or gas that is pumped or mined from the earth to bring light and heat, all of these products are things that the Lord has sovereign authority over. Everything that we have belongs to him. Even the water we drink, the breath that we breathe. For as Scripture says, "In him we live and move and have our being." So the first foundation of this commandment is very clear and very simple. Everything belongs to God, and God has the right to determine the proper use. But more than that, not only is God sovereign over everything because he made everything, he is also sovereign in the distribution of those gifts. God freely bestows gifts on mankind. The distribution of gifts is his sovereign work. He gives to each in due season. So when the Lord says in this commandment, "You shall not steal," what he is saying is, "You shall not take what I have not given to you. You shall not grab and grasp what I as the sovereign Lord have not placed into your hand." This commandment is making a very important distinction. The sovereign God freely gives some things to some people while not giving those things to others. What he gives to your neighbor, he has not given to you. What belongs to your neighbor is not yours. So the principle at play is very clear. You are to respect your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's land, your neighbor's animals, your neighbor's possessions, because God has sovereignly given them to your neighbor. There is a biblical ground of ownership that is at play here. It is interesting that in our present day and age, we are hearing more and more of the supposed benefits of communism. Communism is having everything held by the state, and how that's supposedly better than personal ownership and capitalism. But communism is not biblical. Yes, it is true in the book of Acts that we read in the early church, they held all things in common, but that was not communism. That was the free choice of saints to sell their possessions and give the proceeds to the church for the sake of the poor. Communism is when the state forcefully takes the belongings that private citizens have. So it is actually stealing what God has given to other men. So this commandment is making it very clear. God is sovereign and he freely bestows blessings on people. He is free to give and he is free to withhold. And what the Lord gives to others, you are not to take or to grasp. Those who receive gifts have received these from the divine giver of good. James 1 puts it this way, every good and perfect gift comes from above. So the Father of lights is the benevolent giver of every gift. Those who receive from his hand have no right in themselves. They have been graciously given a gift. So when God freely gives these gifts to someone, no one has the right to rob him of them. Added to this, one more foundation is that not only do we acknowledge God is sovereign in that everything belongs to him and he freely distributes gifts, we also acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of people. We belong, as the Catechism begins by saying, we belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior. We have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and the precious blood of Jesus Christ covers not only the entirety of our being, our body and soul, it covers the entirety of everything we have. What you do with the possessions that the Lord has given to you reflects your identity as a child of God, as someone redeemed by Jesus Christ. Well, now that we understand how the Lord has the right to determine what he distributes to men, in our second point, we are going to see how we are to avoid theft in all its parts. As we've been seeing with each commandment, the commandment has not only a negative and a positive, it also has an internal and external. In other words, the actual sin of stealing starts with a sin that is first committed in the heart. Well, what is the desire that leads to stealing? Well, the desire at issue this evening is coveting. We're going to consider coveting again in a few weeks, but it's particularly important and applied to this commandment that coveting is the sin that leads to stealing. As Jesus warns in Luke 12, verse 15, take care and be on guard against covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So coveting is what leads to stealing, but also the love of money. As Timothy would put it, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So theft, the stealing, grasping with the hands, starts with a heart that covets and loves money, loves possessions, craving, lusting, desire. So what are the actions that are actually condemned in this commandment? The actions that are condemned this commandment, starting very simply, as we read in Ephesians 4, verse 28, let the thief no longer steal. So the outright action of theft and robbery are clearly forbidden in this commandment. These actions are forbidden by God's word, and they are normally punished by the state when the state is functioning properly. But there are many other actions and forms of robbery that our catechism puts before us. Any way that we seek to scheme or defraud our neighbor is also considered stealing, to unjustly take from your neighbor. Question answer 110 puts it like this. You can take things from your neighbor either by force, by strong hand, or in a means that appears to be legitimate. So robbery is either strong-armed, which is by way of force, or by coercion. A few years back, it seemed to be that a lot of our news articles on the finance page had to do with Ponzi schemes. Those are schemes that were investors were promised great returns, but in fact, they were paying a shell game and stealing in order to line their own pockets. This would include counterfeit merchandise as well. But stealing is where you are passing off something of greater worth than what it actually is. Another example of robbery is the robbery of words. It is very easy today with our modern AI science that we have in the realm of the computers. Chat GTP is a very convenient way for the computer to do your work for you, where you can pretend that you have put the effort in, but you are in fact stealing and misleading if you claim these words as your own. Another example. But this commandment not only has to deal with forms of robbery and deceit, but even in how we view and use money. What we have gained rightly can be used wrongly. Our catechism says greed and pointless squandering of God's gifts is also considered robbery. Refusing to pay for what you have received. Refusing to give a person their due when it is in your power to give it. A very common way of paying for something today is the buy now, pay later. It's a plan that is applied to almost everything. But if you refuse to pay for what you have received, is that not just another form of stealing? We saw this in the news this past week. Even your student loans. It is a loan that you are required to pay back. If you don't pay your loans back, you are stealing from your creditors. But even how you invest, the way that you use money, what you invest in and why you invest. Is it your desire to get rich quick and to amass wealth for the purpose of simply having more? So you can see this commandment has far-reaching implications. As Proverbs 13, verse 11 puts it, if wealth is gained hastily, it will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. So anyone who is greedy or refuses to use their possessions and treasures in a way that glorifies God and benefits others is clearly rebuked by this command. We are being warned against idolizing things, as Jesus says. Things like the things of this world can be stolen or decay with time, but the things that are lasting are eternal and of lasting significance. But neither should we worry about earthly things. Worrying and anxiety about physical possessions betrays a heart that questions God's sovereign provision. As Jesus Christ himself said, consider the lily of the field or the birds of the air. Will not your heavenly Father give you what is necessary each day? So even worrying and anxiety and fear about the future betrays a heart that has placed an undue emphasis and trust and a desire for the things of this world more than seeking first the kingdom of God. Well, now that we've looked at the various forms of internal and external forms of stealing, in our last point, we're going to be looking at how we are called to pursue generosity. So instead of coveting, instead of stealing, instead of loving money and committing robbery, Jesus Christ calls us to positively pursue generosity, to use our treasures, our time, and our talents in a way to benefit others. Stated positively, we are to, as Ephesians 4:28 says, instead of stealing, labor with your hands. Do an honest day's labor so that you work hard and at the end of the day, you can share with those who have a need. So the goal of working hard is so that our own needs would be provided for, that we would take care of our family, but also in God's providence, if we have extra, that we might share with those who have needs. God has here linked together hard work with pay and provision. There is a good sense that Scripture brings before us what we tend to call the Calvinistic hard work ethic. Diligent and industrious with your hands, with your work, doing the labor the Lord sets before you is what Scripture calls us to do. There is a normal correlation between effort and reward. So stated negatively, Scripture says, if you don't do work, you shouldn't expect to eat. But if you do work, you should expect that God uses diligent work to meet your needs for daily bread. So before we close, there are three key ways in which to apply this principle to our lives. Three key ways in which we are to not only avoid stealing, but to pursue generosity. The first way in which we pursue the right understanding of this commandment is to have a heart filled with thanksgiving, gratitude. When God gives you a good gift, even if it's the reward of diligent work with your hands, you're to acknowledge these good gifts as blessings from the Lord. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment and thanksgiving come together, both a happy and satisfied heart that acknowledges the Lord as the one who fills your hand and has blessed you in this day. So be thankful. Be thankful. Second, we are to be good stewards of the riches God has placed in our hands. We are simply caretakers of whatever the Lord has given. And as caretakers, we only have power over these means for a temporary period of time. We can't take it with us, but we are called to be good stewards in this life in which we live. Everything you have is a gift. How you use that gift reflects your view, your understanding of who you have received that gift from. So yes, work hard, save for the future, and even spend for the future with the future in mind. As 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 12 says, working quietly to earn your own living. Just as an aside, that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the blessings God has given to us. When we receive things from God's hand and we acknowledge these blessings from God's hand, and as we are generous and sharing with others, we can rightly enjoy going on vacation or going out for a fine meal. Enjoying these blessings from the Lord's hand is also a way in which we give thanks to Him. And then finally, the third way in which we are to apply this aspect to our life is to be generous. To be generous. So be thankful, number one. Be a good steward, number two. And number three, be generous. Working hard, and if God is pleased to give you extra, you share with those who are in need. Two ways in which we can specifically do this is when we support the local church and ministries of mercy, but also when we support ministries that give aid to those with special needs that may not be able to work for gainful employment. In these ways, we are supporting those who are not able to support themselves, or we are supporting ministries like church plants, helping these ministries succeed where they may not yet be self-supporting. In this way, as I said before, we can spend and save for the future. And how we save for the future and even how we spend is with eternity in mind. As Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 19, storing up treasures in heaven. As we close, Hebrews 13 beautifully weaves all these concepts together. Hebrews 13 puts it like this. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. So the fact that God has promised that He will never leave us and never forsake us means that we can be content with what God has given, and we can avoid loving money and being filled with desire, coveting the things of this world. The fact that God has promised to provide is what removes the worry and stress that usually comes with possessions. Since our Heavenly Father has already given to us the greatest gift, which is His Son, will He not also provide for these other earthly needs? So we need not steal or covet, but rather be content and grateful. As our theme says, Jesus Christ is teaching us to avoid stealing as He instructs us to be content. So this rule of love, which is a summary of the law, the rule of love applies this way. Love your neighbor as yourself means treat your neighbor and his possessions in a way that you would want you and your possessions to be treated. Not stealing, but being generous with others whom God has placed in your life. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this commandment and this reminder that there are so many ways in which we can steal, not only with our hands, but in our hearts as we covet and desire. Rather, O Lord, may we learn to be thankful and content. May we be good stewards and may we be generous as we acknowledge you as the fountain source of every good and perfect gift. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.